and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. It's Alabama weekend here at Saratoga, week six. Where does the time go? I believe today is the 24th racing day, and it is a wet one. There is no doubt about it as I look outside our tent here off of Clare Court, which is closed, by the way, our good buddy Mark Koenig, and I'll bring in my partner here today on the Thursday edition of Racing Across America, Anthony Mormino, as our good buddy, Johnny on the spot, Mark Hennig, who's always looking over our shoulder and helping us out. Current situation, the tunnel in Clare Court is flooded and will not be accessible by vehicle until after training. Hopefully Rob Attris and his wife Brittany got out before I see them coming through the tunnel.
Well,
every
rumor
day.
Has it, we can't see, but there's a vehicle that didn't get the Mark Henning tweet.
Well, it's funny. I came in today off Nelson Avenue today and took the right turn, and there was no one there immediately. And I took the quick right turn to get into the set here, and they thought I was, you know, trying to infiltrate the perimeter there. And I'm like, no, I'm just going here. I don't want to go through that. Don't worry about it. But, man, alive. It is raining.
We should say that where we are, where Clare Court is and how the tunnel works, it's probably, and I haven't been everywhere, the first thing that floods here all the time.
It's annual,
at least once a year, and somebody didn't get that memo and tried to take their vehicle through there, and that didn't work out according to rumors. But I will say this. We, you know, at 9 o'clock it was rough. It's slowing down pretty much, and it's looking brighter out than it did at 9 a.m. So I don't...
Only pouring right now. I'm looking at the weather here.
It's not going to improve.
No, but we're down to 40% at 1 o'clock, so that's beneficial. 50% at 5 o'clock.
The damage has already been done.
The damage has been done.
Now it's just about if we can have the races and it's somewhat enjoyable and safe for the horses and the jockeys. And
yeah.
You can find a spot, because one of the things is, you know, it's not that riveting, but, you know, the horizontals, I guess they move on. To me, I think of like one punch exact, because I think we're going to have, if I said at least four races with fewer than six or fewer.
Yeah, we're hopeful. Yeah.
There's going to be some short fields here today. There were some short fields on paper when they drew the race. We think the 10th, the final one, will be the apt to stay pretty much intact, even with no MTOs. But, you know, they're going to give us odds. We're going to be able to bet. And, you know, I had a trifecta play last week, which was smaller than the usual ones. I said, well, because the field size is smaller. You have to be willing to move and groove with the conditions. And if it's a five-horse field and I don't like the 2-5 shot and there's a one-punch exacta for like $30, I'm now interested in that race.
Yeah, I agree, and you're just going to have to take it as it comes today. Okay, so here's the on-the-fly kind of format, which we're coming up with here. Big doings at York yesterday. We're going to show the Jubb Mott International in a bit. Mishriff, who is, I mean, you Is he the best horse in the world? What else do you want him to do? He wins a Saudi Cup. He beats Charlton and Nick's Go. Now he wins the Judmont. He won the race at Maidan for $5 million. Well, he's rumored now to be in play for the Breeders' Cup.
He's the horse of the world.
He's the horse of the world. He's never run over here, but we'll show that in a bit. Gerald Love, who now seems to be off the bridle as a four-year-old. She wasn't supposed to run yesterday. We'll talk about that in a second. We're going to talk about the Alabama, too. They drew that yesterday. Excuse me. Got a seven-pack in the Alabama. We'll talk about that. Malathat trying to reaffirm herself as division leader. And we are hopeful that, is it the bottom of the hour at 10:30? I always get that.
That's the same.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's
we're hopeful.
Saying. The bottom of the hour.
The bottom of the hour. We're going to have scratches, and what our plan is to do. And, okay, NYRA has now updated their scratch board to with the, you know what I'm talking about,
yes.
Which tells me scratches will be coming out soon. Our plan is to double back and actually talk about the off-the-turf races that we really, you know, we talked about them during the handicapper support.
Tepidly.
So our plan is to double back around and talk about these races once we get the scratches, which we are hopeful we will get in the second half of this Racing Across America
program.
Because we think
a couple of them will be dramatically affected. We think
yes.
The last one might be less affected than the others.
3-7-8 is off the turf. The good thing for early pick five players, there's only one race. Yeah. 3-7-8. There's
They're
only
the
one race
on?
In the sequence. 3-7-8-10. Excuse me.
Oh, okay.
There's only one race in the early pick five sequence that was on the turf. So, I mean, that's good. If
that's
nothing
something.
Else, the late
yes.
pick five is probably going to get buried. I mentioned to you during the handicappers report, it might not be a bad day to put yourself together a $36 pick six.
Absolutely. You don't pack it in.
Bottomed out races.
You don't pack it in. You change it. You're watching. You make adjustments and you go forward. It's
yeah.
like, you know, trust me, it won't take you long. You find, you know, you talk to people and their best day at the racetrack was a day like this. There are
Listen,
always
have...
opportunities. The opportunities are different probably because field size is usually very important to making a score. And you might not have that except in the 10th today, but, you know, it's still, you know, I don't want to be outside getting pelted on, but watching it on a monitor will still be enjoyable.
I have a longtime friend who I respect his opinion greatly, and he loves to play on off-track days. I mean, it's, you know, people think they have an edge. If by all means, jump in because...
I would say it's a better... Now, I'm going to guess that he would be a horizontal player because it's less good for tries.
Yeah.
Horizontal,
oh, for
so
sure.
You can...
Yeah, you're
it's still,
loop,
I'm
yeah.
out.
Yeah, you're
yeah,
in
this
a bad
is,
spot.
This is the bane of... how I play the game existence, but a horizontal person, you could still make the edge work for you. I find it hard to make it work for me because there's just not opportunities in a trifecta when you have a six-horse field, seven-horse
no,
field. But a horizontal, you can still make it work for you, and that's the important thing.
Bri, do we have the Judmont? Okay, so here's what we're going to do.
Well, you should tell
them
we love...
Yeah, Anthony and I love our European racing.
Love.
They run the Eberfest at York this week. They've got the Yorkshire Oaks today with Snowfall.
Oaks.
It's a race the Great Enable has won before. You look at the who's who that's won the York.
Now, what's funny about the Oaks
believe.
Is, right, it's we hear Oaks, we think three-year-old yeah, fillies.
3-year-olds and up. The fillies
but
and mare race.
In the Yorkshire Oaks, which I think is the most heralded Oaks race, like you don't hear the Epsom Oaks
no,
that
right.
much. The Yorkshire Oaks is the premier Oaks race, I think, in the continent and the islands in Europe. But you have to be dialed into the idea that it's really a race for the you know, 3-year-olds and up. It is a race for the 3-year-olds and up, which might not be your first thought. What was that? That was Ouija board. I think she... that would be a stop for her, and that's what dialed it into me. That well, it can't be for 3-year-olds because she's
right.
not a 3-year-old, and that's
great where, Ouija board.
Yeah, something else.
Yeah, she was cool. Ed Dunlap, 2-time winner, and then third, I believe, at Lone Star in the Philly Ameriturf.
Yeah, she's a non-consecutive dual winner, right?
Yes, correct.
Yes,
correct.
She
Which is even more impressive for that matter. So, anywho. They run the Judmont yesterday. Mishriff now, if he's not the best horse in the world, I don't know who is. He's certainly the most versatile. He wins a Saudi Cup over our Charlatan and Nick's Go in February. He doubles up in the Shima Classic at Maidan, and now he just takes down the seismic Judmont International. And this is a win, and you're in for the Breeders' Cup turf. And after the race, John Gosden said, you know what, maybe we'll put that on the radar, but it could be the Classic, it could be the turf, to be determined, obviously, at Del Mar. But let's take a look at yesterday's, running with audio, Bri. Now, Love is in here as well for Coolmore.
I think her third start of the year.
Yeah, and she fought, and she wasn't supposed to run in here. St. Mark's Basilica for the Coolmore gang was supposed to run, and she was a late addition.
She had come out of that ambivalent effort in the King George.
Which was not like a tremendous renewal of the King George. And it appears that Love is not going to recapture the form of a three-year-old filly that was otherworldly last year.
She made that step.
Whereas Snowfall, who's going to run today in that Yorkshire Oaks, 16-length winner of the Epsom Oaks, and she was like a length ahead at mid-stretch. That was a crazy thing. She'll run later today. Let's take a look at the Judmont yesterday at York in the Eber Festival.
Best of luck. Let's go. Away they go. They're racing. The 50th year of the Judmont International, the 2021 edition, is underway over this extended mile and a quarter. And Alan Kerr began well on the outside. Max Sweeney on the rail there is alongside him, though, and they're being tracked by Love in the hands of Ryan Moore in third. Mishriff's Maroon Jacket is close up on the outside of Alcohol Free, with Mo Harfeth settling in sixth place. And looking on at the rear of the field, the other son of Frankel, Juan Elcano, is in last place. He's about five lengths off the speed here, and they're racing across the far side towards the 7-furlong point then, when we're with Jim Bolger's Max Sweeney out in front here for Kevin Manning and Leeds. But the gallop is only a pretty medium one, you'd have to say. He's in front by about a length or so. At this stage, Love is racing just behind the two leaders. Alan Kerr, the one in front of her, Mishriff, who's won over £10 million in prize money, is in fourth. Alcohol Free, stepping up in Trip Today, is two lengths away, fifth. Then Mo Harfeth, who's just moving around the outside to get a little bit closer. And then Juan Elcano brings up the rear as they turn in to the home straight here with 4.5 furlongs left to travel in the 2021 Judmont International. Max Sweeney and Kevin Manning on the inside, joined by Alan Kerr on the outside for Tom Marcon. Love is poised to strike up the far rail there for Ryan, who squeezes along. Mishriff is travelling very strongly indeed for David Egan into the race, and he's going to find himself in front in a moment, you think. They're coming up towards the final 2.5 furlongs. Mishriff being delivered down the outside. Love is under pressure on the inside. Mo Harfeth is staying on behind them. He's moving up to third place now, but Mishriff is really turning on the style here as he approaches the final furlong. He leads the Judmont field by a good four lengths, and he's drawing further clear. And this is the Mishriff we've seen the world over, producing his best form back in the UK. And Mishriff absolutely blitzes them in the Judmont. Ashi Murphy, John and Sadie Gosden, Prince Faisal, Alan Kerr was in second place, followed home in third by Love.
Dominant win there by Mishriff. Love actually held on for third, and you know, she was kind of one pace through the lane. And
one thing we should put out to our audience is
amazing performance.
If 8 European journalists were here, the Judmont, there's like six great, just great, 8 maybe great races.
I think you probably had it at six. It's six. Five or six.
And I mean,
it's firm.
I am of the belief that the Arc is the greatest race in the world.
The King George.
And the King George is second. I am not a big believer, like, I'll get hate mail for this, but the Kentucky Derby is not my favorite race in the United States. I appreciate the marketing and the hoopla that the sport gets and everything, but so the Epsom Derby is not my favorite race in Europe. It's probably not even in the top 10.
Well, as far as Europe is concerned, these are two pillars.
Get enamored with their three-year-olds that win the Derby. Matter of fact, their first thought is, well, wait till you get to the King George and take on Elders, which, well, we did our first show, which is why Galileo beating Fantastic Light is such a thing, because three-year-olds in July at the classic distance in Europe at 12 furlongs is a big thing. I think the King George is the second best race in Europe, but the Judmont is in that group. The
Without
Judmont is one of the great races. It happens during our August. It's not the Arc, it's not the Epsom Derby, but you should. It is a great race, and she just backhanded that.
Yeah, Mishriff is he's a superstar, and it would be awesome to see him at Del Mar, as you know, as I know, as everybody watching knows. That's 20 years away in racing, but we'll see what happens and what he does and where he goes. You know, it could be a tricky spot with the Arc.
No, it is. It's not. Listen,
double, but
I've said this for
we'll
years.
See.
When they've come and they've come over and usually lost or something, he said, first off, it's extremely sporting on their behalf.
Great.
Everything is against them.
Great call.
Except maybe at Belmont Park. Everything is against them. And, you know, yes, Trampolino lost to Theatrical. Well, Theatrical's a Hall of Fame horse. He won the Arc. He comes over and, you know, Pat Day outfoxes Pat Ettery. But when they come, you know, when...
Golden Horn.
It's just... It's so great. And they'd really be up against it at Del Mar, you would think. But...
Well, that's, yeah. The
I could tell you this, as a kid, I was a young 20-year-old, seeing Dancing Brave at Santa Anita at 23 years of age, and still the way the Europeans talk about him is great.
Yeah.
It's great for the sport.
Sporting, absolutely. So we'll see what happens going forward. Take note, too. We might show it. We're gonna see. The Yorkshire Oaks today has got snowfall, and if you haven't seen her this year for Coolmore, that's a good job.
Oh, man.
Tremendous, Bri. So there's Snowfall, Ryan Moore, Coolmore, Aiden O'Brien, all that stuff. I mean, she is just go back and watch her races this year. She was, quite frankly, not very good last year. She was 1-for-7, remarkably, as a 2-year-old filly. The light certainly went on. The light bulb certainly went on this year.
What are the biggest filly races? Because you have to understand, in Europe, the fillies run against the boys in the big races with great regularity.
Great regularity.
Is this it for them?
As a 3-year-old? Well, obviously.
No, what are the best?
As a 2-year-old?
No, the best 3-year-old and up filly and mare races in Europe. Because you have the Prix d'Opera, the Prix d'Anne.
Well,
in
the
France.
Distance depends, but you've obviously got the Prix de l'Opera on Arc Day, the Le Moreau and things like that.
This is pretty big.
That might actually be. The Prix Rothschild, excuse me.
Oh, the Rothschild, okay.
But again, those are not distance races.
No.
This is pretty big. So this is about 10:35. We might show that. I think we are going to show that, obviously. That's exciting because Snowfall is 3-for-3 this year. Good stuff, Bri. Thank you. So let's take a break here on the Thursday edition of A Work in Progress Racing Across America. We've got Alabama to talk about when we come back, and we're hopeful to get into the card later on these off-the-turf races. Scratches to be determined. Stay tuned. We'll be back with you on Racing Across America.
Welcome to the West. I'm Scott Varley at Saratoga's latest and greatest high-rise luxury condo. Starting in the mid-fives, every condo here has 2 bedrooms and 2 baths and upgrades just like this. Check out these oversized private balconies. We also have a gym, a private lounge, and get this, a heated parking garage. To make a reservation for your private condo at the West, call or text me. I'm Scott Varley at 518-281-6808.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
For 4 generations and looking forward to a 5th, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Welcome back to the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. Brian Natto, Anthony Mormino here with you, and we've talked about it all morning. It's wet, it's wild, rain. It's crazy outside here at Saratoga. It's still pouring rain. We're off the turf. That's all we know right now. Four races off the turf on the 10-race card today. We're hopeful to get scratches. Before we went to break, we showed, you know, their powerhouse performance by Mishriff and the Judmont International. They're going to run the Yorkshire Oaks in about 8 or 9 minutes. We're going to show that. Because Snowfall is in there, odds on, one of the, you know, top, the top, well, now she is the top filly and mare in training, and with Love's regressing mightily
step
this
back
year. So Coolmore and Aiden O'Brien have another superstar. We'll show that. But it's also Alabama weekend here at Saratoga, and they drew it yesterday. And, you know, if you're not in the loop, and I know everybody is, but just I wanted to read some of these names. You and I talked about it off the air, and you know, just a Proud Spell, Blind Luck, Royal Delta, Songbird, a late Swiss Skydiver last year. The Alabama is, you know, you can tell me Kentucky Oaks. That's fine. But I think I'll trade these winners for Kentucky Oaks winners. And so I'm just, it's that kind of race. And they got seven on Saturday. And, you know, Mike Callahan and I were up here yesterday, our colleague and friend Mike Callahan. And I said, this sounds crazy, but coming out of the Kentucky Oaks, Malathat is 5-for-5. She's the division leader by, you know, a month and a half, and she's going to jog to an Eclipse Award. And now, on Saturday, if Maracuja pulls off an improbable double, I mean, all bets are off. So my point is, it's a very weird fork in the road for Malathat. Where are you going from here? Are you going to get back on the beam? It's a very funky run, Coaching Club American Oaks. We'll show it in a second. She's legitimately something to five on Saturday. She drew perfectly. She's supposed to get a mile and a quarter, better than all, if most, if not all, these gals. But it's kind of put up or shut up.
Well, I think that is a true statement, and it just goes to show you the what would it be if she was this many feet faster.
Well, then she would have margin for error.
It is amazing in our sport how a yard and a half or less than
a
yard.
It's a great point.
Is so vital. You know, she wins the Coaching Club American Oaks photo. She gets to stub her toe.
Agreed.
On Saturday.
Agreed.
But those 4 feet completely change. A 4 feet in a 9-furlong race changes so much going forward. One thing I do think if I was an Eclipse Award voter, which I'm not, is like if she wins the Alabama, that kind of negates the head loss. The head loss looks better followed up by winning the Alabama. Yeah. That it's like, boom. Now it looks worse if you run less well and you go backward. And I might sound like goofy thinking out there, but I stand by it. I think she kind of erases the defeat with a win. So
yeah,
I think a lot of people,
you know, it was her first start since the Oaks, as I mentioned. It was a 4-horse CCA. It was a funky run race. They took shots at her the whole way. But, you know, there's two different ways to look at it. Yeah, okay, they took shots at her the whole way. And she was the inside speed, and that's not her trip. But you know who was taking shots at her the whole way?
The winner.
A touch gold Belmont trip for the winner.
The winner was a rarity that, against a strong favorite, did the work and gets the laurels.
Well, did the work,
usually
dropped back.
And then came back at her.
Yeah, touch gold in the Belmont. You never, ever, ever see that trip. McCarron's got touch gold on the lead of the Belmont. Backs off. The stablemate Wild Rush goes. He loops on
goes
the outside.
Around.
Goes around.
Down.
You never, ever see that trip work out to a winning one in racing. So you cannot take anything away from
Maracuja.
Against good. I don't care if you want to tell me Malathat was short, if she was prepping for this. I don't disagree with any of those scenarios. She was also 5-for-5 in a Kentucky Oaks winner and drilled Maracuja comfortably. You have to give Maracuja a lot of credit. And she's back to battle here as well. She's better than ever.
Differently from Malathat, which I think is very important.
Well, so played hard for Phil Bauer and Richard Rigney is the loose controlling speed in here. There is no speed in this race whatsoever. Malathat is perfectly drawn outside of her. Malathat is tactical. There are absolutely no excuses whatsoever on Saturday for Malathat, and I agree with you. You can almost draw a line through the coaching club. It might sound weird, but it's just not going to play out that way on Saturday, you know?
I think there's more than...
Yeah, run it, Brock. Great.
There's more than one person.
Let's take a look at the coaching club.
The Malathat, that was her best performance.
Yeah, you can argue that.
That's...
You can argue that.
You know, I don't think it's easy.
So, Matt...
Waiting now for Rock, Paper, Scissors, and Clairiere.
You're not going to see a lot of 47s here going nine. Enjoy the day here, by the way, in the sunshine. Oh, my goodness.
This is not a live shot of Saratoga Race.
So here's Clairiere on the outside, the Stone Street Silks, and here's Maracuja, the two.
Who breaks better. And now just cruises, and Johnny V, to me, he's like, well, this is my game then.
I like this ride.
Yes,
I'm on the best horse.
I think, yes, that's, absolutely. They left the space open, didn't seal the rail. It's like, I'll take the space. I fall almost because he got that space, went from a deficit to an advantage on the racetrack lengthwise. I would rather have Maracuja's trip, generally speaking, but one of these horses is 14-1. And one of them is even money, and, you know.
So here's Ricardo pressing Malathat while Clairiere is, I mean, in the perfect catbird seat. And this is where the race changes
right,
a little bit.
Right, that was not the move. I did not like
So Clairiere, I takes it up here.
And I'm like, but she takes it to her, which, you know, I was a non-believer in
And now
Clairiere.
You're thinking, okay, Maracuja.
Well, Maracuja, yeah,
she's, you know, 14-1.
This never works. Like, this is the re-rally that kills you the last eighth of a mile.
Right.
This is using the energy. You've used a little early. You're really working now. Just looking at this horse, who wins after being on the front, being the presser? Now you let somebody else do some work. You round them. And you're in a dogfight with a 3-10 shot who's been in a dogfight with the second choice. And I thought, you know, two horses in here I thought were real good based on completely different trips. The winner and the runner-up for different reasons.
Yes, and you know who was pretty bad? And I think
the horse
now
that
has been exposed. And who I thought was pretty darn good this winter at Fairgrounds. I certainly thought Travel Column was really good at Fairgrounds. And they might just not be very good at all.
Clairiere.
Wasn't that Clairiere's time right there?
Well.
Wasn't that it? She can't
if you're
be,
a believer
she can't there, be that bad third there. I'm sorry.
If we re-racked the show from July 24th with Seth and I, okay. I was so underwhelmed by her performance in the Mother Goose.
Oh, for sure.
I was a non-believer at that point.
Rafe Beckett, who goes into Kirsten Rouse.
Yorkshire Oaks and Snowfall. We're going to watch that live as they load in
this
here.
This is it,
good stuff, Brian.
Let's head over to York. They are off and are racing.
21, and Lazare Conde is immediately sent into a lead by Holly Doyle. Frankie on Loving Dream right up there as well. On the far side, the dark blue jacket of Divinely and Wonderful Tonight is getting quite keen early on. She tends to race a bit keenly in her races. She's just shading second at the moment. Racing alongside her on the outside is Divinely. Followed then by the striped jacket Loving Dream, Ashada. Snow falls in last but one place. Just settled at the back by Ryan. And in last at the moment is the grey filly Alba Flora. As the runners race across towards their first turn, passing the 9-furlong marker. And there's about 7 lengths between first and last. And Lazare Conde is setting the pace here to her stable companion Divinely in the dark blue jacket. But 2.5 lengths behind her. Similar gap away in third is Wonderful Tonight for Will Buick, followed then by Loving Dream and Ishada, the old rivals from the Ribblesdale Stakes. And then comes Snowfall, the Jewel Oaks winner, last but one at the moment, in the hands of Ryan Moore, of course. And last on is Alba Flora. Ross O'Ryan just looking on at the back there in the colours of Kirsten Rousing. And they're racing now and past the halfway point of the race here in the Darley Yorkshire Oaks. And it's been a really nice measured gallop here being set by Holly on board La Joconde. Two lengths to the good over Divinely and Wayne Lorden. Then Will Buick about a length and a half behind in third on Wonderful Tonight as they begin to turn in to the home straight here. In fourth then is Loving Dream as Shard has just been shaken up on the inside. Now Snowfall is beginning to close up on these leaders and she moves up pretty stylishly at the back there. Alba Flora the Grey is passing at Loving Dream as well. Now the race is unfolding and it's Wonderful Tonight on the near side who's taken over, but Snowfall is going with her with absolutely effortless ease here and comes sweeping through to take over. And Snowfall passing the 2 furlong marker is beginning to open up on them here in the Darley Yorkshire Oaks. Ryan Moore goes up by about 5-6 lengths from Wonderful Tonight and Alba Flora with running on behind them Lazare Conde. Snowfall though is in a different league here today and she's coming home to turn the Darley Yorkshire Oaks into a procession. How special is this filly? Snowfall goes on to win yet again from Alba Flora, gallant second, then Lazare Conde and Wonderful Tonight back in fourth.
7152, 7152 in the Darley Yorkshire Oaks of 2020.
Well, there you saw it, Snowfall, who, you know, clearly the best three-year-old, let alone three-year-old filly in Europe, and take that
spot.
Mishriff. A nice double to throw back at Mishriff. We'll see. Obviously, Coolmore, Aiden O'Brien, the Ark is front and center, and they've been very, very well. Always target the Breeders' Cup as well, so keep that in mind. But she looks like an absolute superstar, goes to 4 for 4 on the year. Older fillies and mares in that race as well.
That's,
so, you know, even though it's an Oaks, as you mentioned.
You have to think, like, and one thing I liked was it was a rarity where they took the non-pan shot for a moment, but you could see how compact her stride, like she was almost like launching herself as she began to quicken, and she grabbed the race by the throat in like a furlong, and then she just carried them to the line. But she was second to last entering the stretch, and the stretch is longer than ours would be, and she just really gobbled up the field in about an eighth of a mile and had this daylight lead for at least a quarter of a mile.
Yeah.
So I mean, it just, you know, Ryan Moore, it's got to be Ryan Moore, right?
Yes.
You know, he just rode her confidently. Like, we think, you know, you just have to reorientate your thinking, but at the top of the stretch, you're like deep waters, and an eighth of a mile later, you're like, it's over? You know, it's like a George Foreman, Joe Frazier fight.
Won her seasonal debut in a group three.
That must have been the warm-up.
At 14-1. Won the Epsom Oaks.
Not at 14-1.
11-2. And now 2-7 in the Irish Oaks. But this is a much bigger deal.
Much bigger.
The Epsom Oaks is obviously a stalwart three-year-old filly race. The Irish Oaks, like the Derby, is not a very good race. And remember, I don't know if you remember this, you probably do, 3 or 4 years ago, they were actually pining if they would downgrade the Irish Derby. Because Aiden O'Brien runs like 8 horses in it, and they get like 3 others. And then, so my point being, to win the Yorkshire Oaks today, older fillies and mares
moment.
In that race
race
is a bigger deal.
Much bigger.
And you see now,
much bigger.
Snowfall, you know,
I would say,
the anti-post favorite now for the
Yes,
Ark.
I would say it's, to me, like the equal of, you know, you say to me, I want to win the Epsom Derby or the King George. I want to win the King George.
A 1,000,000%.
It's not even close.
You want to win the Travers or the Belmont? I know they're both three-year-old races, but you want to win the Travers or the Preakness?
I don't think that's the fair. I think you want to win the Belmont, you want to win the Travers or the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Okay.
That's how it works for me. That's why I think the Breeders' Cup Classic is the greatest race in our country.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, it's the greatest race. I mean, I hear all the other stuff, and I get it, but I'm like, it's not the best race.
No,
Stiffs win the Kentucky Derby. Not too many Stiffs win the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Agree.
You know, I mean.
Yes, I agree with that.
There haven't been too many Stiffs win the King George. You know?
That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. You can't win it.
it's not going to happen. It's the race.
I think Swain won it back-to-back, right?
Yeah. And obviously, we showed the Galileo fantastic light throwdown.
As good as it gets.
Did Lamy win that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean
it's pillar. We'll bring that up during the break.
Tremendous.
Bry in the truck, great job showing
Thank
that
Thank you
line.
So much.
Great job bringing the CCA up, too, because your two fearless leaders today are really a work in progress.
Treading water.
Second break on Racing Across America. We're trying to get scratches. We think it's possible. When we come back.
Oh, they just
all right.
came up.
So when we come back, we might have some afternoon racing to talk about for you. Stay tuned.
Let's get to work.
The lineup, they're all set now for the juvenile fillies turf. 14 of them across the track. They're all set on their way. And of the dance on the outside, broke a little sideways with Bro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be Stipe and running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane, stop shopping, Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping, Maria goes on, Sweet Cat is right there, hard not to like, Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come, stop shopping, Maria, full of runs, still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late, yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop chopping area. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
Watched her chances, broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern, the grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern, the grey, looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. Brian and Anthony with you, as we mentioned. We're off the turf today. We thought we had scratches. They're not out yet. We jumped the gun a little bit on that. Hopefully we'll
and
get
one,
them.
And one thing I want to correct bit. When I said the Derby winner is stiffs and those, it's, that was, I shouldn't have used that strong a word, but it's like where you look and you go,
why?
That just won our premier race. And you're like, and then when their career's over, your first reaction that they won was correct, that they're just not a very good horse. The record will show you won the one race that my sisters will know the winner of, but you are not a very good horse. You did not, you never won again. We got a list of those, or your record is just god awful. That's what I mean by a stiff. But you take a look at
here's the 7-year run of the King George from 95 to 2001. Lamtara, Pentire, Swain, Delamy, Montjou, Galileo. I mean, that's as good as it gets. Let's add Hurricane Run in there. Conduit won our Breeders' Cup turf twice. Nathaniel.
I'm sure.
Enable Sire. Tagruda, who you and I were doing TV watching her.
And didn't Asmore come over and win our, I think that Highly was the year at Belmont Enable Park, the last time, the 05, they won the Superfecta, right?
Yes.
The Hurricane Run, Dylan Thomas. I'm like,
yeah,
this is a list that's
Who of the European turf? Enable three times, not in a row.
Somehow, Poets World.
Very few outliers on this list.
And I think this recent one is what? He's just the top 3-year old, and we'll see if he carries it forward, right?
Yes.
Adiar.
Yeah. So, just to show.
So in that case, that kind of there race. Are no stiffs.
There are no stiffs.
Really? And it's only a race. You talk about European racing. You know, obviously the Epsom Derby is like 250 years old. The Ark, I think, is a, 1930s development?
Yeah, it's not as
And the King George is the 1950s.
Yeah.
So the two most premier races are not on their longevity, but they're definitely the two greatest races. And
so look at this Army Wife in the Alabama, Mike Maker. I mean, he's
on the outside
having a great meet.
You know, you have to respect. That's the rules.
She comes in here streaking. She's a daughter of Declaration of War out of an Archmare. And, you know, we remember Declaration of War just missing in the Classic.
In the bumper car edition of the
Breeders'
Cup Classic.
Will Take Charge and Mucho Macho Man, correct?
Byron?
Was that Byron? Byron and King of New York?
I think so.
Okay.
The
ill-fated, awesome.
Didn't Mucho Macho Man win in the middle of the track with some space?
Yeah, but O'Brien had one of those horses.
Yeah, but Decoration of War went ding dong, ding dong. Okay. I thought that was the Shared Belief Byron.
Left turn.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, that's okay.
So Army Wife comes in here. I talked to Mike Welsh yesterday on Racing Across America.
It would certainly
America
be the horse that I would reach to, but you already touched on the horse that I am probably going to
played
reach
hard.
To. Played
hard. She's loose in here.
The trip.
She's a track and distance, not distance, excuse me. She's a two-turn winner over our main track. She's the controlling speed. She's buy into mischief with the galloper on the bottom in Tis Now, who just throw 12s at you all day.
All day.
And she's getting pretty good for Phil Bauer. And it's not easy to break your maiden, come straight to Saratoga and blast a 1X. Older 1X, too. And I think she's interesting.
It's easier when they let you lope on the front.
And you know what the beauty of Luis, there's so many good things about Luis Saez. One of the best things to me about Luis Saez is you know exactly what you're going to get.
Probably, yeah. I think Gabriel called him up and said, you want this man?
Jorge Chavez was like that. And Jorge Chavez was not nearly as good as Luis Saez, but when he was on a speed horse, you didn't have to worry. If he was
snatching grass.
Should we get cute here? No. We're going. And Played Hard is going. Now, unfortunately, my good friend, great friend, Joe Kristofek, alerted to me this at the fairgrounds. Richard Rigney likes to bet his horses. Likes to bet them with both hands. I don't know if that will factor into a tote pool that will have hundreds of thousands of dollars on Alabama Day, Saturday at Saratoga.
The purse is $600,000.
But to be determined. I think the weather is an issue on Saturday too, isn't it?
I
60% chance of rain on Saturday. So, anywho, the Alabama, as you know, we've alluded to and we've mentioned, it's just
it's
a
funny,
heavy hitter.
A race they've never talked about shortening, which is rare in America. They shortened the Breeders' Cup distaff before you got into the game. That was a mile. Well, they're not going to because it doesn't fit. They have the coaching club America. Right. It doesn't fit. It's kind of been pushed into staying at its distance, which is a good idea. And I've always wondered if the 10 furlongs makes for good winners. In the middle of the summer,
it's kind of like the King George. You have to be a good winner. You have to be a good horse to win at 10
furlongs. It's like you can't sneak it. You can't rob it. You can't steal it. You can't get away with one or something. You really, you know.
Jose Ortiz has won 3 of the last 4 Alabamas. His brother has not won one, Irad. Jose has won 3 of the last 4. You know, I don't know if that's a thing or not, but Javier Castellanos had a heck of a record in the Travers. You know, a mile and a quarter is a little different. It is a little different. These jockeys are, especially up here, you're going to run that race twice a meet in the Travers a week from Saturday and in the Alabama this Saturday. So maybe it's a thing. He's
didn't
down inside of Crazy Beautiful.
Well, we got the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Didn't we say that Saratoga Cup?
Saratoga
came
Cup.
Out of mile and a quarter. Absolutely. I love mile and a quarter because it starts at the eighth pole for the fans, which I like that. But it's a classic distance. And I just think there has to be a foundation, whether it's pedigree or training or something, that last eighth of a mile can really separate winners. I mean, I try to think, well, I know in my youth, the Alabama had some great renewals. I mean, just before the Kentucky Oaks really got going, the Alabama was a great race. Yeah. Might have been because by then, the middle of your three-year-old season, you're probably who you're going to be.
Sure.
Versus April 30th or March, May 2nd.
You know? Sure.
What?
Not yet. We're waiting. Scratches might not come to fruition with six minutes. And Bri's on the ball. Here are the scratches. So I'll just read them out to everybody for that matter.
Well, I want to, Hokie, if you hold a second, because I want to visually go through how decimated.
So we're just going to read the scratches for these off-the-turf races, and we'll talk about them as briefly as possible. In race 3, we scratched a 2. Corey scores. The 4.
All right,
Wicked Amber.
That was when I thought the 6 I was on
Quasar
my list.
Is out. Now, that's a shocker to me.
The
Quasar
6 was on my list of coming out.
And the 7 comes out.
Did the 6 come out?
No.
That was, okay.
So let's just
so
talk
the
about,
7 came out. That was the Clement. I said, I'm staying in. He's not.
Let's talk about this race now. We'll go one by one.
Well,
here, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, so we've got 2 MTOs, Tenderness and Rosie's Peach.
And 2 of the turf horses we thought would stay in didn't. The 5 and the 7.
So we're left with a 5-horse field. Jen's Battle is in here. Sky Kitten, you talked about, hey, let's run her. She is. And Jasmine-esque is in here as well. No Speed from the 9.
Well, the 1's got to go, Tenderness.
The 1 has got to go, and Jose and for Wayne Potts, and he'll put
her
on the lead.
They can figure it out.
And she's going to be very tough in here because she looks like the controlling speed. She's catching a couple turf gals.
It's all 1-8 for me now. It's all 1-8, the 3rd for me.
Yeah. I mean, Rosie's Peach, the other MTO, will not be far out of it, and they could run around.
I'd like to take a head-to-head the 4 versus the 8.
No, the 4 is out.
Not the 4, the 3 and the 8.
Okay.
The 3 and the 8. The MTO versus the turf horse.
Sky Kitten's got a little speed.
Yes.
But point being, Tenderness now looks something to 5. Odds on to 5 in race 3. We go all the way to race 7 now. The late pick 5 is going to get blown apart, okay? Mass exodus in the late pick 5.
Right.
Scratches. The 1, Olympico. No surprise there. The 3, Shamrocket. The 4, Opry. The 8, Kineos. The 9, Gunnison. So we've got some horses at least. And certainly the MTOs.
We thought had this race in a very...
You mentioned the speed. Ah, look at this. Tremendous, Bri.
There
just
it is.
Tremendous. There you go, okay?
The
so
10,
as you can see,
which we thought could maybe stay together,
is gone. Tommy Shelby for
the
my buddy AJ.
Gets obliterated.
Tommy Shelby's the main track only for Diodoro. My buddy AJ salivating to play Tommy Shelby, the 10. Clayton the Lionheart, you mentioned the speed there, is going to be a major player. The class drop on backside of the moon. Dynadrive's got a good race in the slop, two back. I had it 11, 5, 7, 10. You know, even Fortuity has got a big race in the slop at Churchill, a win for Joe Sharp, who's come up here from Kentucky and had a nice
yes.
race. The 7 is problematic, and there's your race to spice things up. Very problematic. You see the scratches in the 8.
Lightning Lou is staying in.
Who trains that guy? Let's try to win a trainer's title. So here's the 8th. Blown apart. We kind of figured that.
But this is a race where we didn't think the MTOs had the fishes over the barrel, unlike the previous race.
And I'm getting these scratches as you're getting these scratches with my pen.
I love this sheet that Naira's put out and the Capital Off-Track Betting's put up for the folks, where you really have time to go get your paper and go through
it. Great job, Bri. And we talked about this. I Battle Bling and Vegas Weekend in the 8th are going to be, I would think, 1-2, 2-1. It's interesting. Maker left Lightning Lou in, but, you know, when you're going for a 50-1 at the start of the meet trainer's title, and you're now 4-1, you do different things.
Keep firing.
And here's Lightning Lou. Sharpen your pencil for the finale.
Which we had sort of hung our hat on that hoped could
stay together.
Stay, but would
it's
we lose
not.
7? We lost 7.
Let's get these scratches. Six. We've got to take one more break. I think Steve Bick is not going to join us today. He's out at Del Mar. Word on the street was he came in a little hot after a hotel issue.
Getting to San Diego wasn't easy.
Not easy. Out on the left coast.
Then he got the 3-hour thing. And first day can be tough. I make it often.
First day can be tough.
I do not sleep very much. I get myself on West Coast time ASAP.
We always... Me and my group of great friends typically go the amateur route and hit hardest on the first night.
You go the youthful route because you can.
That too.
You're youthful.
La Victoria and Pop the Bubbly, who you liked on turf. It's interesting. Chad leaves Marvelous Morning.
But you were surprised.
By Sindar.
I'm not surprised that Pop the Bubbly stayed in.
Haya Harry's in? Weird.
That's
they are
why.
Running for $85,000, so, you know.
That's what I always said. It,
discount that.
Scratch your head of who's staying in.
Miss Flintshire's in. I don't have to tell
Miss
you
who Flintshire. She's by. You got that one.
Final break on the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. Stay tuned. We'll wrap it in a few.
Stopped raining.
It did stop raining.
For 4 generations and looking forward to a 5th, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Welcome back to the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. Brian and Anthony with you. We're going to wrap it. I'm going to tell you what.
I don't know if it came out. It isn't raining anymore.
It's not raining anymore. And if you're watching right now and you've given us 123 minutes of your time, we golf clap to you. Thank you. Because admittedly, we were throwing a lot of stuff at the wall for Racing Across America today, seeing if it stuck. But the cool thing, thanks to Brian in the truck, that you got to see two great Europeans. Yesterday, Mishriff. Today, Snowfall. Names you will be hearing prominently the rest of the year. Hopefully, I'm not on Saturday. So hopefully we doped out the Alabama a little bit. You will talk more, more in depth about it with
Seth, right?
Seth Merrow, who is, by the way, I got to promo this again. Seth Merrow, you know, you're off Twitter now, right?
Yes.
Seth Merrow has been nominated as one of the, by America's Best Racing in this, they're voting on the best racing TV personalities. And Seth is on there to be voted for, so do that. I mean, duh. But he's trending in the top 10 right now. And
who the heck is on television year round?
Well, that, you know, the people, the men and women that are in front of Seth Merrow, are on like national networks. Now we can reach anybody. CapitalOTB.com. Get on there. Got someone in Minnesota watching.
So they cover the early daily double at Aqueduct on a Friday?
But you can't, you know, you can't just turn on NBC and watch us. And Seth Merrow, our fearless leader and the hardest working guy in racing, one in 1A with Dave Grenning, is trending in the top 10. And I think that's damn awesome.
It is.
So get on there and vote for him. Just do like a Google search or Twitter search, America's Best Racing and TV personalities or something like that. Vote for Seth. Bri, when does that end? I hope it didn't end already. Okay, thank you, Bri. It ends Sunday. So get on there and vote for Seth. He deserves everything he gets because, you know, he's the face of Capital OTB.
He's lugging a lot of water.
A lot of water. Has been for many, many years. He's awesome. I said yesterday I wouldn't be here without him. So I thought that was when I heard that. And I just, first of all, and I think Seth said it in a tweet, you know, he's just honored to be nominated. And that is pretty cool to be nominated. There's Bri again on the ball.
On top of things. Fan choice.
But he's like in the top 10, which is awesome. And he's, you know, getting the recognition he deserves. So, yeah, get on there and vote for Seth. That's all I got. What about you?
Ditto.
Ditto. All right. We are out of here.
Oh, look at this.
Okay, there we go. There's the personalities that I've mentioned.
There he is.
Other networks. Gary Stevens. You know, there's Fox. I think Seth is lapping Andy Serling.
Seth, knock him dead. Good job.
A little bookkeeping, and we'll mention it again next week, but we were going to swap these shows next week. Anthony and I will be doing a degenerate version, a gambler's version, on Wednesday. Normally, I solo Racing Across America on Wednesday. Anthony joins me on Thursday. We're going to swap it next week.
So the fans know the reason he's doing this bookkeeping is so
reminder.
I don't forget. That's why. Like,
and then I'll be solo on Thursday and set the night.
Well, the guy like me, there's a better chance I do more than you need than less.
Oh,
like I would have showed up that day.
You just
like,
show up on Wednesday just in case.
If it's like, here
I was
am.
Up.
I don't. Yeah, you know, we don't need you today. Okay, that's
up.
Fine.
I've been up for 4 hours, whatever. Denise said to beat it, get out of the house. So I said, I'll take a ride. And I'll go solo Thursday, and we'll Seth and I will tag team the Travers card. I can't believe I'm mentioning that, but they're going to draw that next Wednesday. And that'll be front and center. So we'll have that. We'll have those PPs to dope out Wednesday night. And that'll put us in position to kind of do a little tag team on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So that's it. Stay dry. Fire up.
Make the best
Capital of it. Capital OTB account. And as Anthony said, make the best of it. We're out of here. He'll be back tomorrow. I will see you next Wednesday. Good luck, everyone.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Calendar, not the 48s, but the calendar.